Welcome to the Mind-Muscle Connection Podcast, a show that is dedicated to educating you on applying science-based training, nutrition, and mindset strategies from some of the top minds in the industry to help you build a leaner, stronger, and more confident self. I'm your host, Jeff Hain. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Mind Muscle Connection Podcast. And today is a solo episode. I had to pause for a second as I didn't test my mic. It always makes me nervous that I'm going to sit here and record this and then it doesn't actually record. Just because a couple times I've done client check-ins with, I use an app called Vidyard, and basically just like it shows you the screen and then it records it, shows your face. And there's been a couple times where I've record, you know, I've done check-ins, like 10 minute long check-ins, and then I get two or three done and somebody messages me, hey, I can't hear you. And it's just like my worst fear to be doing all that, because especially with the videos, because you basically, you can't, like, it's not like a email where you can see what you did or whatever. It's like you have to, you literally have to redo the whole thing, and that can be very frustrating. So so today's a solo episode. I have a topic, and again, depending on how long this takes, I may go into a second topic for today as well. So the topic today is things that will affect your hunger levels. So one of the biggest culprits to adherence to your plan is hunger, right? And this really comes down to, I think, anything, even if it's like maintenance, if it's fat loss, even if it's like muscle gain too, if you're just hungry all the time, you know, you can certainly overeat and cause weight gain. So this isn't even just from a fat loss standpoint. You know, I think you can take that, you can take it with this context, and we'll dive into some of those things, but you know, you definitely can see this all the time. It doesn't necessarily just have to be in the context of fat loss, but really the thing with hunger is that, you know, if you are trying to lose body fat, you can and should expect some hunger involved. Like if you don't have any, you know, you're probably not losing body fat. But this can become problematic if it's too high for too long. So if you're just super hungry all the time, you know, there is something that needs to be looked into. This is something that with my online clients, you know, when they're check-ins each week, we will ask hunger cravings. Because again, if things are just, if you're constantly hungry and have high cravings, like that is definitely going to warrant us to look into it. Because if it's high for that long, like it's going to be hard to really see any progress and manage anything that you do. And you're just going to always have that kind of temptation to overeat, right? So this is why with all my clients, we work through phases of nutrition. We push fat loss, but we also take time away from dieting for fat loss. And again, so if we're talking from a context of fat loss, this is where we'll cycle out of that for a little bit, get you back to maintenance. But even if you're at maintenance, you know, again, just making sure that we're eating enough or not super hungry all the time during that as well can be super important. But again, this is why we work through phases with clients. Again, we're not always dieting for fat loss, because there are going to be some things, and we'll go into those, that are going to cause an increase in hunger. And again, when there's an increase in hunger, it's going to make sticking to your nutrition much more challenging. So like I said, there are things that are going to increase it. And again, this makes it much more challenging. And it's also important, I think it's super important to be aware of them. Even if muscle growth is your goal, it's important to manage hunger so you don't overshoot and gain excessive amounts of body fat. You know, listen to the rest of these so you can gain some insights into what can affect hunger, so you can be aware of when hunger might be higher and you can manage this period appropriately. Because again, I think being aware isn't everything, and then you still have to like do things to actually see the results you want, but being aware of it can, it just puts you in a better spot. At least you know what's going on and you can manage it much better, right? Whereas like a lot of times people are just like super hungry and they just don't understand, and they think that that's just who they are, right? But there's probably some underlying issues that are going on, or some things that you're doing or have done that are causing that. Okay. So the first one here is going to be energy availability. So how many calories you eat will affect hunger. The fewer calories you eat, the more your hunger will increase. That makes sense. So anytime you have like a really large deficit, energy deficit, your hunger is going to be a little bit higher. Okay. So this is why with online clients in a fat loss phase, we don't take a lot of calories away right off the bat. We like to ease them into it. Okay. And this is especially true if you're somebody who struggled with this in the past. You might want to take fewer calories away during your fat loss phases. Now, I will say there probably are times where somebody can decrease their calories a little bit more. If you're somebody who hasn't really had any hunger issues in the past, this is you. If you've dieted for fat loss multiple times and you just have a good relationship with food and you just have a good diet skill overall, you can go with a larger deficit. These are for people who have in the past tried fat loss dieting, seen like really quick weight loss, and then all of a sudden they kind of fall off because they get super hungry. Okay. It's probably most of it is just because you're being so rigid and restrictive with your food choices. And again, you're just having such a large energy deficit because you're not bringing in a lot of energy. Your body's like, whoa, 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 we got to get some more food in here. And again, a lot of this comes down to people don't realize that that's what happens. They just think, oh, it's because, you know, dieting is hard and this is what it is, but it's usually because they just are all or nothing with their nutrition. And it's like, hey, I'm doing fat loss, so now I'm just going to completely cut out everything that I eat, go in the soup because I want to get it off quick. They do that. They notice that it comes off quicker. So then they, you know, they'll do that for a little bit of time. Hunger increases. They either have something that an event that comes up, they're not aware of what's going on, then they overeat. And then they're like, I just need to do that again. Right. And they see quick weight loss and this just kind of this endless cycle. And then at some point they obviously just give up for a period of time, but then they'll come back and they'll do the same thing. And it's just this endless cycle. So be careful with that. The thing with fat loss dieting is, yes, you want to find that amount that's going to get you into an energy deficit, but you have to walk that fine line of getting into that energy deficit, but making sure you don't go too far to where then now training suffers. You're less, you know, you're more lazy throughout the day because you don't want to move as much. Hunger just goes through the roof. Like you do want to be careful. Like you can speed things up, but there's really with every gimme, there's a gotcha. And this is definitely one of those. So again, if you're one of these people, we want to make sure that we're not taking away as many calories right off the bat. Again, there's some caveats to that that I mentioned earlier, but for most people, we want to be careful. And again, the larger the energy deficit is, the more likely your hunger will increase. And again, people that have practiced this before, like I've dieted multiple times for fat loss. I wouldn't want to do it, but I could if I needed to go into a large energy deficit because, you know, I've practiced hunger before, gone through many fat loss phases, and there's other people like that too. The next thing is going to be activity levels. So if you're sedentary, there could be an increase in hunger levels, right? So if you're super sedentary, I would say anything under like 5,000 to 6,000 overall steps per day, that can certainly increase your hunger, right? Increase your hunger and also just kind of give you a dysregulated appetite. You think that you're more hungry than what you are. So there's that. But then we also have on the opposite end where if you're super active, you might see an increase in hunger levels as well. Okay. So if you start to do really high levels of physical activity per day, you're probably going to see an increase in hunger just because your body needs that energy. Okay. So there's kind of that sweet spot here. So for online clients, that sweet spot usually seems to be about 8,000 to 12,000 per day. And that seems to be the sweet spot to manage hunger. Again, this makes sense, right? I mean, if the more active you are, the more hungry you're going to get because you're using a lot of energy for that activity. But where we do want to be careful with this. So like somebody that's like an athlete, for them, that's fine because they're probably going to eat enough to compensate that. But you take this with somebody who is trying to lose body fat and they're like, oh, I'm just going to ramp up my activity levels because, you know, more cardio is better, right? Well, you need to be careful there with that because you could potentially see an increase in hunger. But again, we also want to make sure we're not going too far on the other side to where you're sedentary because then that's also going to increase hunger. But again, this is something where I feel like they hear, oh, if I'm sedentary, my hunger is going to increase. So I'm just going to ramp up cardio and overall activity. Just keep ramping it up, right? More is always better. But there's some recent research that shows that you're going to compensate for energy elsewhere when you're in an energy deficit. So like basically, you know, you might burn 100. So say you're in an energy deficit, you might burn 100 calories via cardio. You think that, oh, that's just an extra 100 calories that I'm going to burn. But what the research shows is that people that are in an energy deficit, they will compensate elsewhere. So like really you might burn 100 calories or think, you know, whatever your watch says or whatever it may be, but really you're actually only burning like 60 to 70 as a net for the day because it's going to downregulate things elsewhere like meat or whatever it may be. So again, you know, 8 to 12K seems to be the sweet spot. And then there's going to be some inter-individual response to that where like certain people are going to see more or less. So, you know, kind of seeing where you're at on that. If you find that you increase activity levels and you get super hungry, again, that's because of what you're doing, right? So if you find yourself being hungry, you're like, I do a ton of cardio, I'm super hungry. Well, it's probably because you're just doing a little more than what you should. You'd probably be better off dropping that down a little bit, actually. So the next thing that's going to affect hunger levels are duration of fat loss phases, duration of energy deficit, whatever you want to call it. So how long you diet for fat loss is going to affect hunger. So the longer you diet for fat loss, the more it's going to increase over time. So again, not only is like how big your energy availability, how big that energy deficit is going to affect it, right? So even if you do like a smaller energy deficit, you know, because I said, hey, smaller energy deficit is going to be better for like hunger management, but you do that for long periods of time, you are going to start to see your hunger increase because you're in that energy deficit for a long period of time. Okay. So again, how long you diet for fat loss is going to be super important. So that's why with clients, we focus on fat loss phases of about 8 to 16 weeks on average. For some people, this could be more, you know, it can be more if they're seeing good results. Again, if they're not showing signs of diet fatigue, you know, their hunger's not super high, their energy levels are okay. But again, how long you diet for fat loss is going to play a role in this. So again, not only how large that energy deficit is, but how long you are going to be dieting or how long you have been dieting. So, you know, someone that's been dieting for half a year, you know, they're going to be like, oh, I'm just always hungry all the time. Why is it? It's like, well, because you've been in an energy deficit for a long period of time. The next thing that's going to affect hunger levels are your hunger management strategies. So certain foods, eating habits and meal timing can lower hunger levels. On the other hand, certain foods, habits, and meal timing can increase hunger levels. You know, find strategies that give you the calories you need, but also keep you feeling full throughout the day. So what I mean by certain foods, eating habits, and meal timing can lower hunger levels. We know that more nutrient dense type foods, higher food volume type foods, those are going to help with the feeling of being full. Okay. Eating habits, you know, slowing down when eating, eating your protein first, eating your veggies first, really chewing up your food, like sitting down at a table, eating undistracted. Like these are eating habits that are going to help you lower your hunger levels. Meal timing, you know, this one's very individual here. You know, for some people, spreading their meals out, you know, into throughout the day to like three meals is going to be better for them. Or maybe doing 5 to 6 meals per day is going to be better for somebody. Timing it around like when you're most hungry, like if they do it around their workouts, it seems to be better for hunger, whatever it may be, right? Like there's certain things that we can do here to lower your hunger levels. Now, on the other hand, you know, certain foods like more calorie dense type foods, you know, your more processed foods, foods that are, that you can, that are easy to chew. They don't require a lot of chewing. They don't have a lot of water content. Like some of these foods are going to be easier to overeat. They're going to increase hunger levels, right? Things that are going to be high in fat and carbohydrates and low in like fiber and protein. Those are going to be easy to overeat, right? Habits can increase hunger levels, eating quickly, eating distracted, right? Kind of the opposite of what I would just said there with that. Meal timing, if you intermittent fast, that could potentially increase your hunger levels. You know, the longer you go without eating in between meals, maybe not eating around your workouts increases hunger levels. So again, there are certain things that we can do here. It's very individual, but finding those things are important. And again, you'll do that over time. So that's why I say find strategies that give you the calories you need, but also keep you feeling full throughout the day. I think sometimes people get too caught up in like, oh, how many calories does this have? This food has this many calories compared to that, so it's automatically better. It's like, no. If a certain food has less calories, but you're freaking starving after you eat it compared to one that maybe has 100 more calories, but it keeps you feeling fuller for longer, which one's going to be better? You know, again, there's no right or wrong answer to that either, but you have to take this all into consideration. You can't just say, oh, that food is better than this because it's less calories. It says it's keto or it says it's low fat or whatever it may be. So the next thing that's going to affect hunger levels are body fat levels. Simply put, the leaner you get, the more likely your hunger will increase. This is why, you know, the longer you diet, obviously, again, how big of a deficit you use is going to matter. How long you've been dieting is going to matter. But also now we're also taking into consideration how lean you get. Again, the leaner you get, the more hungry you're going to be. Somebody that's 25% body fat compared to 10% is probably going to be less hungry than somebody who's at 10%. Now there's some genetics that go into this. And again, those people that are genetically or that have good genetics towards this are those people that are naturally lean. Like they don't really get super hungry when their body fat levels are lower, but some people, they do see a big decrease in this once they get to a lower body fat levels. Now for me in my fat loss phases, once I get leaner, the longer I'm in a fat loss phase, I'll start to notice things like hunger increase, energy go down, libido decreases, right? So these are all things that affect people differently. And again, knowing that ahead of time is super important. This is one of the reasons why in my fat loss phase this time, I was like, I don't want to get super lean because I knew those things were going to happen. And, you know, I'm in a different place now in my life and I didn't want to push those levels of leanness again this time. So knowing that is super important. I think this is a mistake a lot of people make when they go into fat loss phases is they see somebody online. They think, oh, that's how lean I want to get. I want to be lean like them, but they don't realize that these things happen, right? And you know, they're trying to be like somebody else and that person's in completely different, has completely different circumstances than you. So the next thing that's going to affect this, and this is for females, not more for females, is the menstrual cycle. Certain phases of your menstrual cycle, the luteal phase, the days following ovulation and leading up to bleeding may lend themselves to an increase in hunger and your body may be more primed for fat storage during this time. You can't do anything about this, but knowing ahead of time can help you navigate this time. That phase, that luteal phase, it's right after ovulation, right before you bleed. That's going to be a period of time where you're probably going to have lower energy levels. You're going to be hungrier. Your body's going to be a little bit more insulin resistant, meaning it's going to probably lean more towards fat storage during that time. Your training might suffer, right? You might have more hunger and craving. So again, you can't do anything about that. But being aware and knowing where you're at and your cycle can be super helpful for you to manage this time. You know, maybe that's the time where you dial back training intensity a little bit. Maybe you eat more filling foods during that time. You maybe focus on reducing overall stress. Maybe you get more sleep, right? Again, these are things that now you're aware of them and you can be proactive in fixing them. Whereas a lot of times it's like, why do I feel like I want to eat everything in sight right now? It's like, little did you know it's because of this, right? And it's more, and then somebody thinks, oh, something's wrong with me. That's what it is. It's my hormones or whatever. It's like, no, this is just a natural process. And you, again, being aware of it can be super helpful. So the next thing here is sleep. Poor sleep may cause an increase in hunger. Whether this is directly or indirectly, you can be certain that poor sleep is going to lead to a drive to eat more the following days. I don't think there's anything that specifically says, hey, you're going to necessarily be more hungry from a scientific side of things, but we all know that usually when we get poor sleep the next day, we're a little bit hungrier than we would be. And plus, you're also going to be less likely to make better decisions. The next thing is stress. So for some people, stress may lower hunger levels, but for others, stress may increase your hunger levels. If you have been extra hungry, you might want to check to see if you're experiencing higher levels of stress. Again, this is something where if client is showing high hunger levels, and then we look at stress and we're like, oh, you know, I actually had this come up. Again, looking into it now, you know, moving forward, hey, you know, when I get a little bit more stress, I notice an increase in my hunger. So again, now you can be proactive in managing this. So again, poor sleep and high levels of stress could certainly increase your hunger levels. I feel like they also kind of go hand in hand. Usually when we're a little bit more stressed, we also tend to get less sleep too. And also is the sleep playing into the higher stress levels? You know, it's kind of a endless cycle there, and it's something you have to be careful with. The next thing is genetics and environment. Your genetics may determine how hungry you get as well. This doesn't mean you don't try, as some of these things above are also playing a role in all this. You know, again, how long you've been dieting, how large the deficit it is, or, you know, a certain part of your menstrual cycle, things like that. But just realize your genetics might favor having a little extra body fat, and losing body fat might be tougher for you, right? And so again, anytime you do these things, you might see your hunger levels spike up more than somebody else. And because of that, you know, if you're subconsciously, you can see where it would be easier for you to gain body fat than somebody else. But again, we can't use that as an excuse. Like if you want something, you know, you need to look into it, right? And take responsibility for it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I have these genes that are going to make me super fat or anything. And I definitely feel like I have it a little bit easier than some people. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I think taking responsibility is super important here for this. Even if you have genetics that are a little bit more prone to fat gain than somebody else, you have to take responsibility. Sorry, got the dog barking at something outside. So anyways, your genetics are going to play a big role there. Next to the environment too, your environment's also going to play a massive role in hunger. You know, if you're constantly bombarded with tasty foods, your hunger levels are probably going to be a little bit higher than somebody who's has an environment that doesn't have all these things around, right? I think being around it, like just seeing food and like smelling food and things like that is going to cause an increase in hunger, right? So again, if you're constantly seeing these foods and smelling these foods and stuff like that, it is going to be challenging to stay on top of things, right? And that is going to increase your hunger. So, you know, also check out your environment. And then lastly, your previous body composition. If you were overweight at some point, you're probably going to experience higher hunger levels than those who have not been overweight. This just unfortunately is how it is, right? Like once you kind of gain weight from then on, you're always going to be kind of at a higher risk of that. And so a lot of times I get clients that have been like, hey, I lost all this weight. And, you know, they see some weight come back on, but they're still like constantly hungry all the time. And, you know, part of it is, hey, like this is going to be an uphill battle for you. Okay. So again, just knowing that you were overweight at one point, you are just always going to be a little bit more prone to weight gain, right? Whether that be from just your genetics overall, or is it because you were that weight at some point? Don't know, but either way, in my experience, people that have lost a lot of weight are always going to have a little bit higher hunger levels than those who did not have to lose a lot of weight. And again, that's just an unfortunate thing there with that. So hopefully that was helpful, guys. Again, I think my main thing with this is I just wanted to go over reasons why you might have higher hunger levels. And again, so now you can be aware of this and you can be proactive in your choices around that time and not really be like, oh, I can't figure out why it is. You know, it's probably because one of these things are off. So if you have any questions on this specific topic, you can always reach out as always. And so I do want to go over one more topic real quick before I end this episode. And so I made a post on this a couple weeks ago. So even mild dehydration can increase subjective pain and fatigue during exercise. Basically, what that means is it's going to make training suck more. Plus, mild dehydration is easy to overlook. If your training has been sucking, you might want to look into drinking more water. So, you know, think back, if you've been having poor training sessions or putting in the work and not seeing the results you want? You know, I think first it's important to make sure you aren't doing more volume than what you can recover from. If your sleep is off and your nutrition doesn't match your training volume, then that is a big problem you need to fix and your training performance will be negatively affected. Okay. So that's always kind of the caveat there. You need to make sure that that's going on. That's, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, training's not great, but it's also they're doing way too much volume and their sleep is off, their nutrition doesn't match that. And that's what the problem is. It's not any crazy secret thing that you're doing, or you need to do more, or you're not doing the right exercises or whatever. It's usually those things that, you know, people kind of shrug off, right? Again, nutrition, sleep, stress management, easy things to be like, ah, whatever, I'm good with that. But one thing though, again, that is easy to overlook is how hydrated you are. Okay. So a recent study showed that even mild dehydration can negatively impact your training sessions. And as they mentioned, like the thing with mild dehydration is that it's hardly noticeable. Okay. So it's easy to overlook. And so this is important because again, if mild dehydration can increase subjective pain and fatigue during exercise, it's important because if every set or rep you do feels tougher and you feel tired quicker, then you're sure to be leaving results on the table over time. Now, this could be the difference in you getting 1 to 2 more reps in a set. You know, it may not make a difference in one session and if it happens once, but over time, if you do that consistently because you're not drinking enough water, again, it's something easy to overlook, like all water, whatever, it's no big deal. Plus you don't really notice it. Over time, you're talking about a pretty significant difference there, right? So this is important here, right? I think your safe bet is make sure you're drinking a little bit more water before your workouts, because again, it's just hardly noticeable. You're not really going to notice it. So you could have the perfect training split, you know, you could have the perfect macros, your sleep could be great, but you don't consume enough fluids. And so you go into your sessions somewhat dehydrated and this could slow down your progress. Okay. So it's just an easy thing I feel like to nail down and, you know, it's just kind of a extra safety net here essentially to ensure that you're doing the things that you need to do. Cause I just feel like it would suck to be doing all these things right. You know, you're got a good training split, you're training hard, your macros are great, you're sleeping good, but then all because you just maybe drink a little less water than what you should, and that it could potentially slow down your progress. So again, this is just something to just ensure that you're doing right. Again, just like with what I talked about earlier in this episode of, you know, just making sure that you're aware of like the hunger thing. Same thing here with this, just make sure you're aware of this. And you know, now you're going to think twice about, okay, you know what? I actually do need to drink a little bit more water, and you could see a little easy performance increase in your training. So one easy tip I have for this is to make sure you wake up When you wake up, you drink 1 to 2 cups of water to start your day. It's pretty crazy to me. I've asked multiple clients before if they do this, and a lot of them say no. So before you drink anything, make sure you have 1 to 2 cups of water. Again, that's a great way to get a head start on your water intake, but it also is going to help you feel better when you first wake up, right? It definitely wakes you up. From there, just make sure you don't go too long without fluids leading up to your training session. You know, probably don't go any more than like 30 to 60 minutes without drinking some water throughout the day. So that's kind of my tips there on that. Again, it's just, I wanted to bring this up because it's something that I feel like it's easy to overlook. I know I've done it before, and it would just be kind of a crappy thing for you to miss out on maximizing your gains if you're doing all these things right, but then like just kind of skipping out on water. So just make sure you're hydrated. Again, those are some helpful tips there. If you guys have any questions on this topic, as always, reach out. So that's going to do it for this solo episode. We have some really good episodes coming up. I started to backload them. So this upcoming week, I'm going to drop our roundtable with Brandon and Jeremiah. And then from there, have people like Jordan Lips, Steve Hall, Martin McDonald, Jason Theobald, Jeffrey Sue. So a lot of good guests coming up, and we're really going to dive into the health side of things and whatnot. So really looking forward to sharing those. As always, if you guys have any questions or anything, reach out. And lastly, I do want to point you to our online coaching service. I am looking to add 1 to 2 people for the month of June, and I am going to have a price increase starting next month or after next month. So if you are kind of on the fence on that, I definitely would hop on that now before prices start to go up, and they will continue to go up over time as well. So if you're kind of on the fence there, you know, now's always the best time to get started. If you have any questions on that, you can reach out as well. I also link my coaching application in the bio. That's it for now, and I'll chat with you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you want more free content like this, follow me on Instagram at jeffh91_ or visit jhhealth.net. See you next time.